peace with God.
Valentine's Day is just about a week away, and there are hearts everywhere. Heart candies, heart pillows, even teddy bears with hearts. But what about your heart?
Deep in your heart, something is missing. You don't know what it is. The thing that's missing is that personal relationship with Christ.
Until you find that, says Billy Graham, your heart will keep searching for something or someone else to find fulfillment. This is Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer. Stay tuned for the rest of Billy Graham's message and a word from his grandson, Will Graham, on what happens when you trust your heart to Jesus.
He brings both God and man together with the Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf. When we live by faith, we have Jesus who actually knows our pains, and we also have the Holy Spirit who pleads our case.
You'll hear the rest of Will Graham's teaching right after his grandfather's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
For today's message, we go to Billy Graham's 1987 crusade in Columbia, South Carolina. He's teaching on sex, power, riches, and materialism. Let's begin listening.
Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to the 12th chapter of Matthew, the 12th chapter of Matthew, and beginning at verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we want to see you do a sign. We want a sign. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He was using that as an illustration of his own death and resurrection. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But behold, a greater than Solomon is here. How could a greater than Solomon ever come? I want to talk about that tonight. I want to use Solomon's life as an illustration of the lives of Americans today and American young people. Because you see, Solomon was a man of great knowledge. And we look on every hand today and we see young people seeking knowledge, security, love. It seems that they are on a great quest. Young people seek to define themselves in terms of clothes they wear, and the crowd they run with, and the things they buy, and the places they go, and the rock concerts they attend. Now, the results of Solomon's search were expressed time after time. He said, vanity of vanities, life is nothing but a vanity. And the word vanity means a bubble that burst. He sought pleasure by every conceivable means, but it was nothing but a bursting bubble. Solomon had it all. And at the end, he said, it's not worth it. First, Solomon attained great knowledge. He knew more than any man that ever lived except Jesus Christ. He said, I've gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me and all of those that are going to follow me, in Ecclesiastes 1:16. In 1 Kings 4:30, it says, Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the East and all the wisdom of Egypt. He said, I gave my heart to know wisdom, and I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom and knowledge, there is much grief. He said, you can know it all. Have all the knowledge and have all the PhDs and all the rest. But it doesn't satisfy something deep inside our hearts and our souls. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And the struggle intensifies around the globe right now for the hearts and minds of youth. But Christ said we're to love God with our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And you cannot come to God alone through your mind. Our natural minds have been affected by sins. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:14, their minds were blinded. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. The god of this world is the devil. The Bible teaches there is a devil. There are demons, and they have the power to blind your mind towards spiritual things. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding, says Paul in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Now, the Bible teaches in Titus 1 that our minds are defiled. In Daniel 5, it says they're filled with pride. In 1 Timothy 6:5, it says they're corrupt. In Ephesians 4, it says they're filled with vanity. In Proverbs 21, it says they're wicked. With all of our stockpiles of knowledge, do you know what we've learned? We've learned something that Adam and Eve did not know in the Garden of Eden. We've learned the knowledge of evil. Adam and Eve gained the knowledge of evil when they sinned against God. God never meant that we were to know what evil was. He created us perfect human beings. We were to live thousands of years on this planet. We were to build a wonderful world with God's help. But we rebelled against God, and we gained the knowledge of evil. What can we do? Receive Christ. Let Him dominate your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Scripture says you can be transformed in your thinking. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Give your mind to Christ. Albert Einstein once told his photographer friend who took pictures of him that he regretted that he ever wrote the letter to President Roosevelt to tell him that the possibility of making the atomic bomb existed. And then the photographer said, "Do you think there'll ever be peace in the world?" He said, "No." He said, "As long as there are men and women, there will not be peace." Yes, there's going to be peace because Christ is the Prince of Peace. He's going to bring peace. But only through God are we going to find peace. You can have peace in your heart right now. You can have peace of mind right now by surrendering your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. The Bible says God made the wisdom of this world look foolish. The world failed to find Him by its wisdom, and He chose to save those who have faith in the folly of the gospel. Notice He calls the gospel folly. The gospel is folly to this world that has its mind blinded and affected by the devil. You see, sin is a disease. It's also a disease of the mind. It's worse than Alzheimer's disease or any other disease that you can think of. It's destructive, and we all have it. The Bible says all have sinned. What can we do about it? Come to the cross. Let Christ forgive your sins, change your life, turn you in a new direction, and give you a new mind, because Christ can become the Lord of your mind as well as your body, and as well as your soul.
You'll learn more about allowing Jesus to become the Lord of your mind, your body, and your soul when Billy Graham returns with his message in just a moment. You can also learn more by going to peacewithgodradio.org and clicking on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or if you'd like to call us, our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Stay tuned for the rest of Billy Graham's message coming up in just a moment.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Olympic athlete and war hero Louis Zamperini was unbroken and unwilling to come to faith in Jesus Christ. But then his life started to fall apart. It began when he tried training for a return to the Olympics and found that his war wounds made it impossible.
I gave up and was really heartbroken that I was not able to make the 1948 Olympic team. I began to feel sorry for myself and began to drink and drink more and more. My wife was getting awful discouraged and was even contemplating divorce. The last and final blow came when I lost everything I had and my car was repossessed. And so it was on the strength of that that I decided to go down to the tent meeting.
Finally, Louis Zamperini was broken enough to listen to a Billy Graham sermon and surrender his life to Christ. What might it take for you? Go to billygraham.org. Click on Grow Your Faith, billygraham.org.
Thanks for being with us for this edition of Peace with God. Hundreds of thousands of people have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ through a television ministry of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. It's called the TV Telephone Ministry, or TVTM.
We air telecasts that were recorded in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and those messages still ring true, and the Holy Spirit still uses those messages to draw people to Christ.
Don Plemons oversees TVTM, which airs the Billy Graham Classics TV program 7 times a week. The shows invite viewers to call a number that's on the screen.
Most of the calls are about the person's relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our emphasis as a ministry, is on salvation and sharing the gospel. So a lot of the calls are along those lines. But we also get prayer requests for family members, for salvation for a family member, for financial issues or job issues or health issues. We get a range of calls.
The TVTM ministry receives tens of thousands of calls every year, calls that are answered by a team of committed volunteers all across the U.S. and Canada. Volunteers like Judy Turner, who's been answering the phone since 2003. She says she prays every time she puts on her telephone headset.
And I tell the Lord, no matter how many times I've done this, Lord, I can't make anybody believe. I can't convict of sin. I can only share what you've done. It's your work. So would you anoint me, fill me with your Spirit, and would you work and move?
Judy has talked and prayed with countless people who discovered their need for Jesus while watching the Billy Graham Classics.
One man called and said, I have had a life of alcohol and drug abuse, and I have taken God's name in vain so many times. Is there any mercy left for me? And I said, oh, yes. His mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness.
Or the woman who was getting ready to leave her husband for another man when she came across the Billy Graham Classics on TV.
Her bags were already in the car. She was about to go off with the man she was having the affair with. And she called and she ended up praying to trust the Lord as her Savior. She said, I'm going to restore my marriage. I'm coming back. I'm unpacking my stuff.
Judy says the Holy Spirit helps her never to lose the wonder and joy of being used by God.
It's just kind of fun to kind of step back and watch a sinner and Savior meet.
Last year, more than 11,000 people surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ through the telephone ministry of TVTM. And since it began 35 years ago, the ministry has seen 338,000 people make that same decision for Christ. You can learn more about this outreach by going to peacewithgodradio.org and clicking on What We Do. Look for TV Telephone Ministry.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
King Solomon had a lot going for him, incredible wealth, power, fame, and intelligence. And this king of ancient Israel discovered something that can change your life. He discovered that nothing is as important as following God. Let's listen now to the conclusion of Billy Graham's message here on Peace with God.
And then Solomon was not only the smartest man and the most brilliant man that ever lived and the best educated, but he gave himself to great pleasures. In Ecclesiastes 2:1, he said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with laughter. Therefore, I'm going to enjoy pleasure. He had every sensual pleasure that you can imagine. The Bible describes in details all that he had. He had the finest swimming pool you've ever read about. It was flanked by 12 lions of gleaming bronze. He drank the finest wines in golden goblets. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Talk about sex. He had it. More than any of you will ever have. And every pleasure that you could think of was at his beck and call. He did what many of you would like to do, but you can't afford it. Some people are good because they can't afford to be bad. But God doesn't count that. Some sin is expensive. With every imaginable device of pleasure and lust at his fingertips, Solomon sat out under the stars one night and contemplated the emptiness of it all. He said, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. It's a bubble that burst. How many of you are crying tonight on the inside? On the outside, you have a mask. Inside, the peace and the joy and the happiness that you've always searched for is missing. Something's wrong in your marriage. Something's wrong in your courtship. Something's wrong in your school. Something's wrong in your life. Something's wrong between you and your parents. Something's wrong between you and your friends. Something's just missing in your life. In Proverbs, it says, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Oh, yes, you can have that little affair. In God's sight, it's a big affair. Woe to them, the scripture says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. Do you know Christ? Do you have the joy and the peace that He can bring? Because in Him are the pleasures that you can have. And then Solomon was the richest man in the history of the world. His income was staggering. It's all listed in the Bible. The weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. That's billions of dollars. Did you know he had a stable of 40,000 horses? He sat on a throne of solid ivory overlaid with pure gold. His country house in the forest of Lebanon was one of the most beautiful homes that's ever been built. But one night he sat on the top of his house in Lebanon, and with indigestion, his hand clutched at his empty heart, and he said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's all a bubble that burst. It's nothing. All this pleasure, all these riches and everything are nothing. The Bible says in Psalm 37, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I'd rather be as poor as Job's turkey and know Christ than to be the richest man in the whole world without Christ. In Proverbs 23, he wrote, wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle. Jesus said, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And we look on Wall Street. Sometimes they show those pictures of those men going crazy. Just, I don't know how they keep up with it all. They're making deals as fast. I've stood there right at, and watched the stock market. I can't figure it out. I don't know who can figure it out. But they're making signs, and they seem to understand, and they seem to get through somehow. But people go crazy over money. They say, if only I had a few thousand dollars, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't, because you'd want a few thousand more. Then Solomon had great power. Men like power and prestige. And no nation of the world of that day dared defy Solomon. He had more power than any man of his generation. He had the greatest army, had the greatest navy in the world of that day. And he looked upon his mighty military power and he said, it's all a bubble that burst. What shall it profit a man, Jesus said, if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Suppose he had all the knowledge and all the wealth and all the power in the whole world today and lost your soul. And many of you are doing just that. You've gained in your circle of world. You've gained all that you can gain, but your soul you're not sure about. You go to church. You have a name on a church roll. You've been baptized and all of that. But deep in your heart, something is missing. You don't know what it is. The thing that's missing is that personal relationship with Christ. And then Solomon turned to the aesthetic light. He said, I made pools of water. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments. He got orchestras and he got ballet. He got everything. And whatsoever my eyes desired, he said, I kept not from them. I had everything I could ever think about or desire. But he said it was all vanity. He developed a love for art and music and culture. He built beautiful gardens, had musical recitals. Then he said, I looked upon all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit, and there's no profit under the sun. You see, if you had it all that you're striving after, it wouldn't bring the peace and the happiness you're looking for. Why? Because it's found in Christ. Finally, Solomon came to this conclusion. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment, whether every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. In other words, he said, there's a judgment coming, And to be prepared for that judgment is the most important thing in the whole world. Come to the cross. That's the only place you can find forgiveness. And Jesus said, "Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus said, "I am the truth, and I can set you free. Free from your anxieties, free from your troubles and problems. I can give you a peace to go through them." Now, He doesn't take your troubles and problems away, but He gives you a peace and a joy that will enable you to go through them and live through them if you put your trust and your faith in Him. Yes, Jesus was greater in wisdom. It says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." It's in Christ, in Colossians 2. In Jesus Christ. If you know Christ, you know more than the professor at the greatest university, because that professor is looking for something that you found. Christ was greater in giving pleasure. You see, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live into your life, and He produces in you joy. It's supernatural joy. And there's pleasure beyond anything that you ever dreamed in Jesus Christ. "In thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore," the Bible says, Psalm 16:11. Do you know that? He was also greater in riches. It says, "Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." There's no riches compared to the riches in Jesus Christ. Come to Christ, and He gives you the real things of life. And then He was greater in power. It says, "All power is given unto Him in heaven and earth." And the Bible says that someday He's going to come back in power and great glory, and His holy angels with Him. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." Do you know that power? Has that power come into your heart? Have you received Him? Do you know Him? Are you sure of it?
Are you ready to experience that peace and joy that Billy Graham just described? A good way to start is by going to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can always call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. You can also use that number to get a free CD copy of today's edition of Peace with God. It's yours to listen to anytime you like, or to share with someone else. Just give us a call and let us know you'd like the free CD of today's program. The number again is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. You're listening to Peace with God.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
In today's message, Billy Graham explained that your life takes on new meaning when you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. One reason for that new meaning is that you're now in a whole new relationship with the God of the universe. Billy Graham's grandson, Will Graham, explains.
Oftentimes we don't feel like God knows what we're going through in life. Job could identify with those feelings. In Job chapter 9, verse 33, he wished for someone who could arrange to bring God and himself together. Job wanted to plead his case before the Almighty. And often, we think the same thing. We wish we could go to God and ask why there seems to be injustice in this world. Job was asking for someone who could bring both God and man together. In other words, he was asking for a mediator who represents both God and man and is able to bring them together. Jesus is just that mediator. He brings both God and man together with the Holy Spirit interceding on our behalf. When we live by faith, we have Jesus who actually knows our pains, and we also have the Holy Spirit who pleads our case. By faith, we have an advocate that fights our case before God. So live by faith and not by sight. For Peace with God, I'm Will Graham.
As Will just explained, the Holy Spirit pleads our case before God the Father. On next week's program, Will's grandfather, Billy Graham, looks at how the Holy Spirit also works with your conscience.
What about your conscience? God has placed within every one of us something that cries aloud against us whenever we do something wrong.
That's next week at this same time here on Peace with God. This program is just one of the many ways the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association works to share the love of Jesus with people around the world every day. You can invest in that work. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Give, or call us at 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. I'm Bill Meyer. Thanks so much for being with us today for this edition of Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.